الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كلا إذا بلغت التراقي وقيل من راق. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه، ومن كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honored ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with another great day, and that is the day of Yawm al-Jumu'ah, a type of Eid for a believer. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, and he says, there is no beautiful day upon which the sun rises except like the day of Jumu'ah. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on this great day, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on this great day, may Allah guide us. And when the time comes for us to leave this world, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a maut on a great day like this, inshallah. Ameen. My respected brothers, very quickly, just to recap what I spoke about last week, the topic was about the importance on the remembrance of death. And I mentioned and I said that it's compulsory upon us to think about death as often as possible. I provided examples wherein the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly used to contemplate over death. One of them was such that he would dig his own grave in his backyard and sit for hours thinking and contemplating about death. I mentioned to you the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he mentioned and he said, "Tuhfatul mu'min al-maut," that one of the greatest gifts ever given to a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is death. And I also mentioned and I said that it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that death is there to dampen our spirit. So I also want to clarify this hadith. It also doesn't mean a person must be such that he only contemplates about death. If people are sitting and talking, then he doesn't want to joke, he doesn't want to talk, he's only thinking about death. You must remember, part and parcel of our life is also to socialize. In Islam, it's also permissible to joke, provided within the ambits of Sharia. So what is the meaning of the statement of the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that death is a gift to a believer? Scholars write and mention and they say that if, for example, a person is sitting in a gathering which is jovial, it's a wedding, for example, it's a get-together, people are sitting and talking, and they're speaking about anything in general and they're laughing. Sometimes it may happen, siblings may sit together and they will recollect their life when they were young, when they were small, how they used to behave, someone did this or someone did that, they blame the other sibling or whatever it may be, and they joke about it. So how would we bring the remembrance of death in this sort of gathering? Simple. A person should at the end make dua and say that just as how we are seated here today and laughing and enjoying this moment, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seat us on the day of Qiyamah under the shade of His arsh. Or may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it be such that when we are in Jannat, inshallah, we are also sitting together as one happy family and talking. So this is how a person through wisdom would bring about the mentioning of death. Because the only way we can go into the akhirat is through the pattern of death. So this is how death becomes a gift for a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding, inshallah. As I also mentioned, my respected elders and brothers, that when we remember death, it also brings about the ability to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also it brings about the gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are such qualities that each and every one of us want. We desperately need. There is no one on the face of the earth who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one that can say, I don't want mercy from Allah. There is no one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, I don't want to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one on the face of the earth that can say, I don't want gratitude from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such a thing that we all desired. And through the remembrance of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and give us this ability to constantly remember it, inshallah. Now, my respected Ahlul Bayt brothers, today, inshallah, I'm going to start off with a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want you, my beloved brother, to keep this hadith with you throughout this entire session, throughout this entire talk, and contemplate and think about it during the talk, and contemplate and think about it even after the talk and beyond, inshallah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions and he says, Man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. That person who loves to meet Allah, any believer who loves to meet Allah, then Allah will love to meet him. And that person who dislikes meeting Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dislike meeting him. So this is the hadith that I want you to keep. That person who loves to meet Allah, Allah will love to meet him. That person who dislikes meeting Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes meeting him. Now, my respected Al-Azim brothers, in Islam, there are different stages of life. There is a stage which we know, or world, different worlds of life, put it that way there. There is the stage or world which is known as Alime Arwah. Then you have a stage of life which is known as the Alime Dunya. Then you have a stage which is known as Alime Barzakh. And then you have a stage which is known as Alime Akhirah. So these are the stages and phases a person would go through. So Alime Arwah is the place of souls. And it is in this place here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken a pact and pledge from mankind, everyone. And this is the pact and pledge that is known as the Aqd of Alastu. In English, it is known as the pledge of Am I Not. The pledge of Am I Not. Now, what is this all about? Mufti Ashiq Ilahi rahimahumullah mentions in his tafsir, and he says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal had made it such that he showed Adam alayhi salatu wasalam his entire progeny, and they were the size of ants. And it is there in the place of souls. Alime Arwa is the place of souls. It is there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked everyone, Alastu bi Rabbikum. Am I not your Rabb? And at that moment in time, the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entire progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam said, Qalu bala. Yes, you indeed, Allah, you are. So this is the aqd and pledge that we are taken from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah asked us, am I not your Rabb? This meant, this was actually the origins of our iman. When we accepted Allah as our Allah. And that inevitably meant that every command given to us, we will follow. Every trial and tribulation given to us, we will accept. This is what that pact was all about. Then you have the stage of Alime Dunya. This is the place which we currently are in right now. And then you have Alime Barzakh. This is the life of the Qabr. And this is the first step towards real success or failure in Alime Akhirah. That is the life in the hereafter. So the equation is rather simple. If you are successful here, then a person will find never-ending bliss and happiness in the hereafter. If a person is successful in the qabr, he will find never-ending bliss and happiness in the hereafter. But if he is not successful in alimi barzakh, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. So each one of these phases and stages, my respected elders and brothers, are significant and are different. But the place that allows us the most amount of chances to rectify and redirect ourselves is the one that we are living in currently. This is the alime dunya. But today you see, my respected elders and brothers, the topic is not about redirection. The topic is about death. And once death comes and the clock of our life stops ticking, then these chances that we have in this world come to an abrupt end. And like how they say, the game is over. Ali radiallahu anhu, he put it so beautifully, and he said, when he gave a khutbah, he mentions and he says, إِنَّ الْمَوْتِ لَيْسَ مِنْهُ الْفَوْتِ إِنْ أَقَمْتُمْ لَهُ أَخَذَكُمْ وَإِنْ فَرَرْتُمْ مِنْهُ أَدْرَكَكُمْ. He said, be very, very careful and understand this, speaking to his community. إِنَّ الْمَوْتِ لَيْسَ مِنْهُ الْفَوْتِ. Death is such a nature, you cannot escape it at all. إِنْ أَقَمْتُمْ لَهُ أَخَذَكُمْ. If you want to try to challenge it, if you feel you can stand up against it, it will overpower you. وَإِنْ فَرَرْتُمْ مِنْهُ أَدْرَكَكُمْ. And if you think you can run away from it, be rest assured, it will catch up to you. So this is death. But before death, the actual death can arrive to a person goes through another matter that he has to contend with. And this is what is known as the pangs of death, or as we commonly know it as sakarat. And this is something that even our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, and she says, في سكرات الموت رفع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدي وقال اللهم في رفيق الأعلى. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates and says, then Habibuna Mustafa Ahmad Mujtaba, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was about to pass away and he was going through the pangs of death, he raised his hands up to the heavens and he made dua and he said, Allahumma fi rafiqil a'la. That, oh may Allah, grant me the best of companionship. And what is the best of companionship? That means companionship with none other than Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. The beauty of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such, my respected Alism brothers, that every part of his life was a lesson for this ummah. His entry into this world was a lesson for you and I. His life during this world was a lesson for you and I. And even his exit from this world was a lesson for you and I. So this passage or route towards death is something that many people will face. And it is something that is indeed a reality. There's no escaping it. The pains of death are of such a nature that only the person who goes through it will be able to understand it. Till today, there is no one that can stand up and say that I've been through the pangs of death and this is what it is. No one. There is not a person on the face of the earth that can say, I've went through it. Today people said, you know, I've been through this type of sickness. I've been through that type of sickness. And let me tell you, it's like this. Or let me tell you, it's like that. But the sakarat, the pangs of death, is of such a nature. No one has ever been able to live through it and talk about it. No one. So we as the living, the only way we will be able to understand it is through the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the analogies given by our pious predecessors. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions in one hadith and he says, إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ سَكَرَاتِ. That indeed, definitely in death, there are lots and lots of pains. That is why One masnoon dua that every one of us must learn is taught to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma a'inni ala ghamaratil maut wa sakaratil maut. Allahumma a'inni ala ghamaratil maut wa sakaratil maut. Allahumma a'inni ala ghamaratil maut, ghama with a ghain, ghamaratil maut wa sakaratil maut. The translation, O may Allah, help me overcome the agonies and difficulties of death. It is something that every one of us must make dua for. Scholars write and say, in order to understand the agonies of death, they give a beautiful analogy and they say that it is known when you amputate or you cut off a limb or take out a skin from a lifeless body, there's no pain on that body. There's no pain whatsoever. If there's a dead person or a body that's lying over there and you cut off an arm or you cut off a leg or you peel out the skin, then there's no pain whatsoever. On the other hand, if you had to do the very same thing to a living person or to a creature that is alive, then that creature or that person will experience great amount of pain. Just the mere prick or a small cut will cause this person so much of pain. Why is it like that? So the scholars write and they say, the reason for this is simply because the soul has a connection with every part of the body. The soul is diffused into every part of the body. And I'm sure we've experienced this. Sometimes, you know, it's a small piece of skin that might be jutting out at the cuticle or at the nail. And you pull it and it's extremely painful. This is because the soul is in every part of a person's body. It's diffused. So cutting off a limb of any person or taking the skin out of a person is actually the pain that soul is going through when a small piece is taken out. Can you imagine the pain a person would go through when the entire soul is being taken out? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. There's a beautiful hadith of Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, which is mentioned in the kitab Tanbihul Ghafilin, which translates as admonition for the neglectful. Before we get into that hadith, there is another hadith that I want to mention to you. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions and he says that when the soul is taken out, just for us to understand, when the soul is taken out, it's like taking a wet piece of cloth, thin cloth, and throwing it over a thorny bush. And then the person is told to pull that cloth. So as he's pulling it, the thorns are holding back that cloth, the pressure of that person pulling, and as a result of which, that cloth starts to tear, not from one place, but from different places. Tears start occurring, and you try to pull and pull, so one piece of the cloth comes, and then another piece of the cloth comes, and then there's a bit hanging onto another piece, and that comes out, and there's more here and more there. This is how the soul is extracted at times. Now, having said that, this narration that I want to narrate, give you, as I mentioned, is coming in the Kitab of Admonition for the Neglectful by Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahimullah. He mentions that the hadith of Bara ibn Azib radiallahu an, when he says on one occasion, kharajna ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam fi janaza min rajulin min al-ansar. He says, one day we came out for a janaza for a person from who had passed away from the ansar. Fantahina ila al-qabri wa lam yulhad bih. He says, we came to the grave, and we sat at a place where the grave was not dug. Meaning there was no grave dug yet. So we sat around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in complete silence. فَجَلَسَ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَجَلَسْنَا مَعَهُ. We sat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we sat around him. فَكَانَ عَلَى رُؤُوسِنَا الطَّيْرِ. He said the Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting so quietly and so still. We also sat quietly and still, to such an extent as if pigeons could nest on our heads. That's how still we were. And then they mentioned Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wa fi yadihi udun. In the hand of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam was a stick. And he was constantly looking at the ground. Constantly looking at the ground. And he was taking the stick and he was digging into the ground. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raised up his head and he said, Ista'idhu billahi min adhab al-qabr. O my Sahaba, ask Allah for protection from the punishment of the qabr. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam started narrating. And he speaks about a person who is good and how his soul will be extracted, which I will give it to you shortly, inshallah. But I want to first speak about the person who is evil. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions and he says, وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ الْكَافِرِ. For that slave who leaves this world in the state that he's a disbeliever, إِذَا كَانَ فِي إِقْبَالٍ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. When he's making his journey towards the Akhirah, وَإِنْقِطَاعٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And now he's cutting himself off from the dunya. What happens to him? At that moment in time, the malaika come down. Angels come down as far as he can see. And the hadith mentions Sudul Wujuh. With such terrifying faces, they come down to this person. Ma'ahumul Mamsuh. With them is a coarse cloth which is absolutely wretched and foul in smelling. Completely, you know, disgusting. They bring this cloth down. And this person who is going through sakarat, he is witnessing this. As far as his eye can see, there are hordes of angels that are coming down. Millions. And each one of them, not a friendly face at all. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it is mentioned that on one occasion, the angel of death came to him. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told him, O angel of death, tell me, show me your appearance. How would you come to a disbeliever? The angel of death said, O Ibrahim, if I had to show you, you won't be able to bear it. He says, no, show it to me. So he told him to turn around. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam turns around and Malakul Maut transforms. And he tells him, right, look now. As soon as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam turned around, he fell unconscious. When he regained consciousness, he says, O angel of death, is this how you come? He says, this is how my Allah wants me to present myself in front of a disbeliever. He said, such a horrific presentation. I fell unconscious. Now these angels sit by a person. And what they do? They wait. And as he's going through the pangs of death, then finally the angel of death comes down. And he too now looks at this person. And then he utters and he says that, oh, you evil person, ayyatuhan nafsul khabitha, oh filthy person, ikhriji ila sakhatillah, come out to the anger of Allah, wa ghadabihi, and his never ending punishment. Now is your time to come out. And at that moment in time, the soul runs into every part of the body. To the furthest end of the body, the soul runs. And now the angel of death gives permission that the other angels must go in and take out the soul of this person. And like that hadith goes, that just as how the cloth is pulled over a thorny bush, in that very same manner, parts, pieces of that soul is coming out. The hadith goes on to further mention and say, like a skewer with thorns on either side, being pushed into wet wool and drawn out. In that manner there, the soul of this evil person is taken out. Together with such an extent that piece by piece the ruh comes out with all the veins and all the sinew and all the tendons, it comes out. And it's never let, it's kept firm. Then this very same soul in pieces is wrapped up into this cloth. And from there now, the malaika take it up to the heavens. And as they're going up to the heavens, the smell is unbearable. When they reach the door of the first heaven, the angels of the heavens start speaking, what is the smell that is coming towards us? What is this filthy, wretched smell that is coming towards us? And the angels reply and they say, this is the soul of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And they use such foul language on the body. And the angel says, no, no, we cannot open. This is the heavens, we cannot open for this person. And the command is given from the Arsh of Allah, no, open that door. And in this manner, yeah, this soul traverses through every stage of Jannah, every door. And eventually it comes up to the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells that soul that see your place in Jannah. This person will see his place in Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, this was the place that was supposed to be for you. But now there's nothing at all for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command that write his name in the book and register of Sijjin, the book of prisoners of Jahannam. And his soul is thrown back into that body like a dirty and filthy cloth. And thereafter the process continues. It is at that point Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam read the ayat, لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط. What is that ayat? Allah says, no doors of the heavens will be open for them for entry until the only way, the only chance they have to go into Jannah, حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط. If a camel can fit through the eye of a needle, then only they'll go into Jannah. My respected brothers, can you imagine this entire scenario is our end? What will be our condition? Just on a side note, when a person undergoes the pangs of death, he is known as a muhtadhar, a person upon whom the signs of death are visible upon him. To which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ. Make talqeen of the muhtadhar. What is talqeen? Talqeen means to make the person who is about to pass away, the muhtadhar, recite the kalima. Not to force him, but to encourage him. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is talqeen. And once the muhtadhar, insha'Allah, says that kalima, then no talk should be done. A person shouldn't speak of anything worldly. If you had to speak of any worldly thing, then the muhtadhar must repeat it again. Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, he mentions and he says that at the time of death, the first thing that goes before the soul is extracted is the mind of a person. He becomes extremely overwhelmed and confused. You will find him speaking what we would say, you know, in our terms, gibberish. You don't know what he's talking. He'll start speaking about the past, mixing his speech, calling wrong names, etc. That's the first thing where that will go, his aqal. The next thing that will go is his tongue. He'll become muted. All of a sudden, he'll stop speaking. Then his limbs will start to weaken. A person will be unable to move. It's what we know, you and I know, as bedridden. The muhtadhar is unable to scream or groan or even cry out for help. Every form of strength will be completely gone. And then his color will change. حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ ظَهَرَ مِنَ التُّرَابِ الَّذِي هُوَ أَصْلَ فِطْرَتُهُ. His color will change. It will become the color of dust, which was the origin of his nature when he was brought into this earth. Basically, he will become pale. And every vein of his body will start to pull. It is said, the vein of a single human being, the vein of a single human being can span anywhere between 60,000 to 100,000 miles of one human, the veins in the body. To such an extent, it can go and wrap itself around the earth twice. So don't ask about one vein. Imagine every vein being pulled. Sometimes when you go to the doctor and they have to inject a drip or medication into the vein, that burning sensation, that's only one vein. Can you imagine that sensation throughout the entire body? And it's at that moment in time, the limbs now get weak, the knees will get together, the nose will become bent. كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, at that moment in time, when the ruh is taken out from the foot, it comes to the collarbone. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي. When it reaches the collarbone, قِيلَ مَنْ رَاقِ. Where is the one that can save him? This is a challenge from the Quran. Where are the doctors that can save this person? Where are those that are involved in taweez and amaliyat, etc.? Where are they now? Where are the physicians? Who can save him? Man raq. Who is there to save this person? In a hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions and he says, irqabu al-mayyita inda thalath. Observe a muhtadhar in three things. The first thing, when his head begins to perspire. The second thing, when his eyes start to tear. When his lips become dry, now you know he's moving in towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this point, I want to make it very clear. It doesn't mean that any person that goes through sakarat is being punished. No. In the hadith it comes, even sakarat is a means of wiping away a sin of a person that he might get to higher stages in Jannah. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimullah said, I would not like the agonies of death to be reduced by for me in any way, because I know it's wiping away of my sin and I'll get a higher stage in Jannah. So my respected Al-Azim brothers, there's so much more to talk. I mentioned and I said I'm going to speak about a person who is good and how he passes away, but my time is up already. But the point that I want to bring to you is that look, every one of us are going to leave this world. We cannot live in this world thinking that we're going to be here forever. We cannot continue as adults thinking that I'm just going to live life and everything is going to be fine. We have no idea whatsoever what is going to be our end result. So let us work towards this. Let us make dua that, oh Allah, I want to meet you. Like I said at the beginning, that person who wants to meet Allah, Allah is ready to meet him. So use the time that we have in this dunya. Use every second to build your akhirat. Take what you can, what you must from this dunya. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned that when he was about to pass away, he started to cry. So the people said, oh Salman, why do you want to cry? You spent your life in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Definitely you are going to meet him. He says, no, I'm not crying because I fear death. I'm not crying because I wanted to stay in this dunya. I'm crying because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and he said, live your life to the extent of a traveler. Take only provisions from this world as a traveler would take from his journey. And I don't think I've lived up to that. They mention and they say when Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu passed away, they calculated his estate. He only had 10 dirhams. And he cried. You and I? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that when our time comes, even if we had to go through sakarat, in fact, one hadith I forgot to mention was when a good person passes away, we might think that sakarat is being bad for him, but Allah shows him his place in Jannah to such an extent that sakarat is nothing at all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it like that for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us death on iman, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdika, nashadu wa la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.